Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Okay. We are beginning. This is going to be the introductory lesson or a discussion. I don't expect you to have filled out lesson one yet, because we're going to talk about that. And that's what we'll look for next week. This is a series that was put together by Dr. MacArthur and the folks at Grace Community Church. Whose is that? Linda, is that your tablet making all the noise? It's right here. Yeah. Thank you, Harper. This study, although it's 13 lessons, is designed to be 26 or 30 weeks in length. There's just no way to get through it in 13, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he gets a lot of words in there. Yeah. On our website, I've created a page that has all of the audio from Dr. MacArthur, plus a transcript of that audio. So you can download, or you can just listen online. It's friendshipgracebrethren.com, FOF. That's right. And that will aid. And in there also at the bottom of this page are some additional articles that throughout the course of the study they refer to. So, and as I find new articles reference to this, I will put them up there as well. They recommend that each week before class, you download the assigned or listen to the assigned message from the website. Take notes and identify some talking points or questions that you would have about that material. What is it in the material that we're covering? What is it that you would have questions about, and so forth? And then fill out the answers in your workbook. We're not going to do that in class. You're adults. You can fill out your own answers. We'll go over ones that you have questions about, but we're not going to take class time to go through every answer. That's something you can do on your own. And we're just going to have a discussion in class about what is what's contained in here. Dr. MacArthur says that this class was born out of joyful necessity. He says decades ago. By the way, Dr. MacArthur is still in the hospital. He had valve replacement in his heart and is not bouncing back very well. Of course, he's in his 80s, and those kinds of things are traumatic. So, yeah. He says early on, when they were a young, growing church with families and individuals, some new to the faith had simply, and others simply new to the area, were coming to church in droves. And I don't know what that's like, but so many new faces, so many unique backgrounds, we needed to ensure this growing congregation was firmly rooted in the fundamental doctrines of the faith. We've done this a couple of different ways before, but But this material is good and provides a nice book for you and stuff. So Fundamentals of the Faith has played a key role in the spiritual growth of the congregation ever since. Provides new believers with a rock-solid theological foundation. It helps more mature Christians sharpen their understanding of key doctrines and equips them for evangelism and discipleship. It fosters the only kind of unity that truly means anything in the church, unity based on shared understanding of God's truth. So, yes. Common testimony at Grace Community Church is from people who thought they were saved and then took a Fundamentals of the Faith class only to see that they didn't really understand the gospel at all. Through the class, they finally learned the truth about Christianity and they saw their lives transformed by the gospel. It's impossible to tell how many people have come to saving faith through these studies. So let's take a look at what the goals of this study are. The assurance of eternal life. That's one of the primary goals of this study, is that we're sure that that everyone has eternal life. And you are certain that you possess eternal life. That's an important goal for the study. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Boy, this is hard to turn in this lectern here. So that's 1 John 5:11-13. Goal is that we have eternal life. That we become equipped for ministry. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. I don't know if my dentures are slipping or what. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Our job is to know what God has said so that we can do the ministry that he's given us to do, that he's beforehand given for us to do. And then to know God more deeply. Exodus 33:13. Now therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. So Moses is saying to God, listen, I want to know these things so that I know you. That's our goal, that we know who God is and that we know what he wants, that we know him, that we relate to him better. The more you know about somebody, the better you are to able to relate to them. So let's, the first lesson that we'll really tackle next week, the first memory verse, we all should know this pretty well already. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Important for us to hide these things in our hearts. So during the course of this week, I will try every week to present the memory verse for the next lesson. But for the next couple of weeks, this will be the verse that we're going to try to memorize. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for corrections, and for training in righteousness. As I said, there's some optional articles that are on the bottom of that page. on our website, which Bible translation is best. That's subjective, of course, but there is some input in that about what has the best facility in our language to get what was meant in the original. I would argue today the best one we have would be ESV. That's why I use it. I think it gives us the best conceptual understanding. It's not the best word for word, but if you get word for word translation, it's going to be hard for you to read in English. And so I think the best one that gives us modern parlance is the ESV, but that article will explain that. Why these 66 books? We've talked about this in the past, but that article goes over how we ended up with the 39 and the 27 that we have, why it's that way. What about all those others, you know, the Gospel of Thomas and all of those? Why aren't they included, and why these are included? And then the last one, further detail about the Apocryphal and the Deuteronomical books. Those are just some good articles that will be part of what we consider as you study through chapter one. I'm sorry, lesson one. Let's look at what the lessons are going to be over the course of the next few months. Lesson one, an introduction to the Bible. Who is it? I mean, what is it? You know, where did it come from? Why do we spend time with it? That's all lesson one, and it's pretty intense when you go through this, and there's lots of things to fill out in this chapter or in this lesson, and I think sometimes writing these things down helps, you know, like on B, history, 12 books of history. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and so forth. Poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. These are things you know, but you may not think about. The answers are... Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's a... There's a little bit to write in. There's a little bit to work on here, but I think it's all beneficial, I think. Lesson two, how to know the Bible. How do you study the Bible? Now, we've gone through this. We did that long section at the beginning of our eschatological timeline, our dispensational eschatological timeline, of how we get to understand those passages that way, and that's what we're going to cover in lesson two, how to know the Bible. How do you get to where you understand what is being said and have some reasonable assurance that what's being said is, what you read is what was actually said. The how of learning and applying scripture to life is something that every one of us should know. We should know how to do this. It's not just me who has to teach it. We all should be able to do that, because you have to make sure that I'm doing it right. You can't do that if you don't know how to study it and interpret it yourself. Lesson two goes into some much better detail about hearing it, reading it. There's a difference between hearing the Bible and reading the Bible. I would argue that the Bible was predominantly written to be heard more than written to be read. And so it makes a difference when you're hearing it versus when you just read it. Our minds do things differently with it. And if you can read it and hear it at the same time, that's even better. He talks about meditating on the passage. That's something new to me that I've only begun sort of doing recently in the last year or so, is just ruminating on a single verse that jumps out at me and really trying to suck out of it what's there. And then there's a long section in lesson two on the process that's used to study the Bible. And then lesson three is God and His character. I really don't like this way this works. Lesson three, God and His character and His attributes. To provide students with a fuller understanding of God's attributes so that they may offer Him truer and more honoring worship. That's important for us to understand who God is so that we can properly worship Him. The second objective is that the student gets a glimpse of the infinite majesty and glory of God. I think that's one of the things we miss in our worship system, is we miss the majesty of who God is. So there's an emphasis in this lesson on God's majesty. Knowing who God is, and we'll go through His attributes of deity and the harmony of God's attributes. That's going to be a fun section, because I've been talking for quite a while about what I have termed the conflict in God's attributes. I mean, they're in harmony, but from our vantage point, they seem like they're in conflict. You know, wanting somebody to pay for their sin versus wanting or needing to give them mercy. That seems like, from our vantage point, at least, conflict, but for God, there's perfect harmony in that. And that's quite an involved lesson. Fourth lesson is the person of Jesus Christ, the central figure of human history. We saw that just recently. The calendar, you know, transformed on His birthday. Although the calculations were wrong, so we missed it by 3 or 4 years. But the point is, we went from BC to AD. It centers on who Jesus is and what He did. Regarded as a great teacher, a religious leader, a prophet, the Son of God, even God Himself. Claims He made, as well as those that others have made about Him, have propelled Him into the center of endless controversies throughout history. So that's all about who Jesus is and why that's important for us. Titles of His deity and so forth. To present the person of Jesus as God, as man, as Lord and Savior. Lesson five, the work of Jesus, or the work of Christ. To explain man's need for a Savior, to show the cost of Christ's work. What did it cost Jesus to do what He did? It's not free. You know, just like our freedom isn't free, our eternal freedom wasn't free. To show provision of Jesus' work, to present the resurrected Jesus, and to offer a call to repentance. The work of Jesus. In the middle of that, God's decree to reveal His plan to us. That's an important discussion we'll have. Then lesson six is all about salvation. To explain a person's salvation is a sovereign work of God. I don't remember what show it was we were watching last night. It could have been recorded any time, I don't remember. They were talking about, if I can get this right, how they said it. But as they were talking about it, the guy that's all scarred up, and he's a professor. Something like that. Yeah. The question was, they were focused on irrational. They were focused on making choices, and he laid out, but when you go to a magician, all of the choices you have are laid out for you so that you can't not make that choice. I think, what a perfect explanation of what God does. He still expects me to choose, but He's laid it out so that I can't not make that choice. The way they explained it in there, I was thinking, this is perfect. Anyway, that's what salvation is all about. God has chosen us, but we still choose. And that'll be a fun discussion. To understand that God is sovereign in that, but still understand conversion and its evidences, and we'll have fun in that lesson. It'll be warm and hot outside by the time we get there, though. And then lesson 7, the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible identifies him as one of three persons existing as one God. That is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In this lesson, we'll study who the Holy Spirit is and what his presence and ministry are in a believer's life. So we'll spend a lot of time, first of all, discovering the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the objectives of Lesson 7 are to impress upon the student that the Holy Spirit is a person, to give the student an understanding of the essential deity of the Holy Spirit, to explain the Trinity, good luck, to give an overview of the role of the Spirit in the Christian's life. It'll be a fun lesson. These are all going to be fun. Because this is theology, and I think theology is always fun. In lesson 8, prayer and the believer, to explain the purposes of prayer with the goal of exhorting the student to spend time in prayer, to practically teach the student how to pray. So we'll go through all of that. Lesson 9, the church, fellowship, and worship. The church is not a physical building, but a group of believers, not a denomination, sect, or association, but a spiritual body. The church is not an organization, but a communion, a fellowship that includes believers. We'll talk about all of that. And we'll talk about some worship, what worship is. During our worship hour, I try to point out when we're worshiping through our fellowship, when we're worshiping through our music, and when we worship through our study. I think that's all worship. And it will be in this section that we'll diverge from Dr. MacArthur just a little bit about baptism and communion, because he doesn't do it biblically. I would tell that to his face. My former college professor, that was his number two guy, or his number two, Dick Manahan, or not Manahan, Mayhew, has had that conversation 1,000 times with him, because he was, or is, Grace Brethren, and Dick told me one time, almost got him persuaded, almost, but not quite. And so I would have fun with that, because he would know exactly where that was coming from, but he doesn't do it the way I believe Scripture teaches that we ought to do it. And I don't know that he has a great argument for why he doesn't. It's not like he can't camp on a biblical passage that tells him not to do it that way. So I don't know. That's one of my frustrations with Dr. MacArthur. Fellowship and worship, to understand the difference between the universal church and the local church, give the student a set of guidelines to what to look for in selecting a church. You don't need to be selecting a church. You've already been selected. To exhort the student to participate and minister within the church, and to understand worship within the church, including communion and what all that means. So that's lesson 9. Lesson 10, spiritual gifts. God gives spiritual gifts to believers for the purpose of ministry within the church. English term comes from two Greek words, charismata and pneumatika. The word of charismata is charis, which means grace, as we know from our fellowship name, and speaks of something undeserved or unearned. The second word, Pneumatica means spiritual or things given by the Spirit of God. So in this lesson, you'll look at various spiritual gifts and how they should be used in the body of Christ. I haven't worked all the way through this gift, but I would, or this lesson, but I would expect Dr. MacArthur to do a little bit of why we don't have spiritual gifts like healing and tongues and so forth. But maybe he doesn't. Well, healing and miracles, there he goes. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. So we'll get through that. And then lesson 11, evangelism and the believer. The word evangelism brings many thoughts to mind. Some people think of tents and famous speakers. Others envision a weekly visitation and terror of witnessing. This lesson will introduce the biblical concept of evangelism and the role the believer plays. And he will help us to recognize that we're all to do evangelism. We just may not all be evangelists. To motivate, to have a heart for the lost, to help students become the bearers, overcome the barriers that keep them from evangelizing, to help the students understand their responsibility and equip them for the task. So that will be a fun study. We have covered a lot of that material in weeks past. 11, obedience. Obedience is the expected response of the Christian to his Lord, but obedience is more than following a set of rules. In this lesson, we'll study what it means to be obedient, areas of obedience, and some results of obedience. I like the way he says that. It's not just following a set of rules. Obedience is an attitude. You can be obedient without following a set of rules because you have the proper attitude. Attitude is a large part of what obedience is. To understand why obedience is central to our growing relationship with Jesus, and to help the student understand the obedience is not following a list of do's and don'ts, but rather it's knowing and serving Christ from the heart. It's doing what Jesus wants us to do because he wants us to do it. That's kind of like, well, why should I do that? Because I told you to. I mean, we should want to do what Jesus said because he told us to do it. And then the 13th lesson is God's will and guidance. God's sovereign and has a purpose for all of his creation. He has a plan or a will for each of us. Though we often make his will more difficult to respond to than it really is. In this lesson, we'll explore God's will and how we're guided by it. God's will is something, this is one of those mysterious topics that I think we will see some stuff that we never thought of when we talk about God's will. To see the difference between sovereign and commanded will of God, I think his use of those two words might be a little bit dangerous unless you really understand what he's saying. There is this teaching in the church for a long time, God's will and God's permissive will. Well, is he sovereign or not? Permissive will doesn't seem like sovereignty to me. But anyway, we'll get into that and we'll get a better understanding of that in this lesson. To learn how to discern the will of the Lord in our lives. That's an important part for us. How do we know that that's what God wants us to do? Well, some things we know because he told us in Scripture. And other things we know because he tells us to our heart through the communication of the Holy Spirit. How do you discern whether that's the Holy Spirit or something else directing you? That's part of what we'll discuss in this. So, any questions? I don't want to really start this lesson one today because we're not prepared yet. Not everybody has a book and so forth. But I would like to talk just a little bit about what we're going to see in lesson one. When you go to the webpage, you can download or just listen. You can listen there or download our God breathed Bible, or you can read the transcript, or you can do both. I just added those yesterday afternoon. The transcript helps you, and it's easier to circle things or be reminded of things when you're listening to him and he says something. You know, if you circle it or highlight it, then you can find it when you want to talk about it later, because we will be talking about what he says in the messages and what the lesson is, but we're not going to go through the lesson particularly. My goal is to have this more a dialogue than have it as me just bloviating. I do enough of that. So we need to talk about what we read, which means you're going to have to read ahead of time. There's some things that you're going to have to go through and so forth. Next week, my goal is to explain the origin of the Bible and try to get an understanding of how Revelation works and how the various authors of the Bible were told exactly what to write, but it included who they are, it included their experience, their vocabulary, and so forth. So that becomes important for us then to be able to know that what God has said is real and we need to use it. And you can get the information on the website to make it. I put it in one place so it's much easier for you to get to. And that's live on our website right now. FriendshipGraceBrethren.com, FOF. We're gonna talk about revelation, specific revelation, and natural revelation, and then special revelation, so that we have an understanding of what is being, how we get to where we have the words on the pages. And I think that's about it. I don't want to drag this out. So any questions? And if we have more time for coffee and stuff, that's okay too. Linda reminded me that we don't have to fill every minute. We can just relax too. I told her last night that I just don't know that in this introductory lesson I have enough to fill the 45 minutes, but I don't want to start the lesson until everybody's ready to start the lesson. So we'll start that next Sunday. And Dr. Bill should be with us next Sunday. No questions? Okay, let's pray and have some more coffee. Father, you are the great and awesome God, and we love you. And we are so thankful for all that you've done for us. And we're thankful for men like Dr. MacArthur and people that have worked with him, for Dick Mayhew and the influence that he's had on him, and the good theology that has come out of that church and that seminary, and just allows us to have a little bit better grasp on what is in your word and who you are. Our desire is to know you, our desire is to relate to you and to be involved with you and to be obedient. So thank you, Father, for loving us and calling us to be your children. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.